Welcome. You are listening to the Uncut Gems podcast. This is our Patreon exclusive Steven Soderbergh shallow cut episode for this March 2023. And my name is Randy.
And my name is Jakub.
Awesome. All right. How are you doing, man? Are you ready for this?
Oh, I was born ready. Let's do this.
Right on. Okay, we'll quickly go through just a couple of announcements in terms of what's going on over on the main show, the Uncut Gems podcast, our March theme. I guess not so much a theme this much, not so much of a theme this month, so much as we are having a tribute.
In Russian. Like, I was just like thinking like Whiplash immediately.
I know, totally. We were just talking about Rocky IV. So oh, I've got all this adrenaline and I'm rushing.
You're rushing. Okay. Sorry.
So over on our main show, more than just a theme, we are conducting our own sort of tribute to Brandon Lee, who tragically left this mortal coil 30 years ago on March 31st. So March 2023, we will be doing all of Lee's films from Legacy of Rage right on through to The Crow. So these are all the films that he had a lead role in. Here on Patreon, our tie-in episode to the tribute is going to be Brandon's dad's final film, 1978's Game of Death. So watch out for that. And also a little bit later in the month, watch for Year of the Cassavetes as our marathon continues, as we're going to be talking about his third feature film as a director, and that is A Child is Waiting. Big thank you to all of our subscribers out there. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support. If you did stumble across us on our main show feed in 10 or 15 minutes, our voices are going to trail off into nothing. So why don't you head on over to patreon.com/uncutgemspod, give us a try, sign up for $3 a month. And there are, I'm going to say, 45 or so episodes that you'll find on there. There's quite a few. So, you know, there's a lot of good conversations to check out. And if you don't want to do that, hey, no problem. We can still be friends. Drop us a line anytime. Listen to our main show. And we appreciate any type of listens and engagements that you have with us. So thanks for being with us. All right. So Cassavetes is one project that we're working on. The other project that we're working on this year is our Steven Soderbergh Deep Cut, Shallow Cut series. The first Friday of each month on our main show, we are doing what we call a Steven Soderbergh Deep Cut, his lesser known films. So March's Deep Cut, and it should be out and available now, is The Limey. So check out that conversation. But here on Patreon, Steven Soderbergh's Shallow Cut, where we talk about his better-known films that are a little bit less of a good fit as an uncut gem type of discussion, because these are his more popular films, we're going to be doing our best to cover these in chronological order. That'll be a little bit hairy over the next couple months. But anyway, we're trying to progress through the man's career chronologically. So today we're going to be discussing his ninth feature film released in the year 2000, his Oscar-nominated Aaron Brockovich.
Aaron, how's it going?
You never called me back. I left messages.
You did? Well, I didn't know that. Donald seems to think that you
There's
said
There's two
that...
things that aggravate me, Mr. Masri. Being ignored and being lied to.
I never lied.
You told me things would be fine. They're not. I trusted you.
I'm sorry about that.
I don't really need pity. I need a paycheck. And I've looked. But when you spend the past 6 years raising babies, it's real hard to convince someone to give you a job that pays worth a damn. Are you getting every word of this down, honey, or am I talking too fast for you?
I'm sorry about that. I really am. We have a full staff right
Bullshit.
Now.
Bullshit. If you had a full staff, this office would return a client's damn phone call. I'm smart, I'm hardworking, and I'll do anything, and I'm not leaving here without a job. Don't make me beg. Doesn't work out, fire me. Don't make me beg.
Okay, so Aaron Brockovich was directed by our boy Steven Soderbergh. It was written by Susanna Grant, who's responsible for some other drama work. 28 Days, she wrote that script. She also did the adaptation of Charlotte's Web, and she did a lot of work on the series Party of Five. Erin Brockovich stars Julia Roberts, Albert Finney, Aaron Eckhart, Marg Helgenberger, Peter Coyote, Vianne Fox, and Tracy Walter. Tracy Walter is a good friend of this show, of course. We will be talking about him in an upcoming episode because he was Bob in Batman, 1989's Batman. And also showing up on screen for a brief cameo is real-life Erin Brockovich herself. And there's a lot of other actors in there playing a lot of lawyers and sick people. The story of Erin Brockovich, it's a real-life whistleblower story, follows the case against Pacific Gas and Electric, and that utility in California was knowingly contaminating groundwater in the community of Hinckley for decades. Our titular protagonist struck...
I see what you did there. Yeah, thank you.
Our protagonist, Erin Brockovich, is a struggling single mom. Erin Brockovich is a struggling single mom, and she finds a job, and she finds her calling, and she finds her self-esteem in this story and helping this law firm investigate and bring legal action against the multi-billion dollar utility. You know, she sort of finds herself and grows as a human. On the legal side of this, this was an actual fact, one of the biggest class action lawsuits against a corporation in U.S. history. As Brockovich sort of delves into her work to help expose the company's environmental abuse and their negligence, she also battles for respect and stability as a person and as a parent. And respect and stability were two things that long eluded this struggling single mom of three. And I guess that sort of summarizes everything that's going on with Erin Brockovich. Behind the scenes, as I mentioned, this was Soderbergh's ninth film. At that period of time, so 1999-2000, when this was sort of being made and on the cusp of being released, Julia Roberts had just finished making three straight money-making romantic comedies. And romantic comedies weren't necessarily a slam dunk at the box office, but she was coming off Notting Hill, My Best Friend's Wedding, and Runaway Bride. They were all massive hits. In 2000, she was one of the biggest box office draws in Hollywood, period. Like, along with maybe Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, Will Smith, like, they were the four. Totally bankable stars.
Steel Magnolias, man.
True, that made money, but that's going back to 89. That did make quite a bit of money. People don't often remember that. And was that?
Just an Uncut Gems connection, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, sort of. We talked about The Evening Star, and just like, slacked off Steel Magnolia. I mean, I did.
Oh, God. Yeah. And, you know, this is all over Robert's career, too. Like, we could talk about Stepmom. And anyway,
we could.
Erin Brockovich, though, was two things for Roberts. Firstly, it was the biggest paycheck for a film for a woman in Hollywood history. She made $20 million. That was her payday for Erin Brockovich. And it also represented something that allowed Roberts to branch out to do some serious acting, because I think she didn't want to sort of get penciled in as the romantic comedy, you know, lead. I think that she was looking to branch out. So Erin Brockovich was that opportunity for her as well. Now, I don't know how Soderbergh stumbled into this, except to say that Out of Sight was just 2 years earlier. So that made him a bit of a hot commodity in Hollywood again. And the year earlier, The Limey had come out and probably increased his indie cred again, because that had a successful festival run and, you know, was very well reviewed. Although, as we talked about in the episode talking about The Limey, it didn't necessarily make a lot of money, but it was, you know, certainly a well-known piece of work. So his indie cred was up, his Hollywood cred was up. So someone came up with the bright idea of getting this box office star and this 1990s new wave director, get them in the same room and see if we can make, you know, magic happen. Erin Brockovich, the script appealed to Soderbergh for two reasons. For him, he says, it had linear storytelling, very straightforward plotting.
That's very odd.
Not something very unusual for him, right? And also he saw in this maybe an opportunity. This could be something like his All the President's Men. The film is shot over 11 weeks. It had a $52 million budget, of which $20 million was tied up in Robert's salary.
Just Robert's return.
Yeah. So almost half. Albert Finney was courted at great length, apparently, to do this film. He didn't really want to do it for the longest while, but producer Danny DeVito had to convince Finney's girlfriend to coax Finney to actually do it. Just as sort of an added piece, I guess in real life, as the story went, Erin Brockovich herself became sick, just spending so much time in Hinckley and just, I guess, being exposed to the water. And she was hospitalized for a stretch. So this was included in the script. There was a scene that was in the script, and they shot a scene in the hospital where Erin Brockovich, the character Julie Roberts, gets sick. But then Soderbergh said, yeah, we can't be pandering. This can't be one of those types of movies. So Soderbergh delivers the film to test audiences. Test audiences love it, really rave reviews, but the studio is a little bit nervous about how they're going to market it because of the vulgar language and excessive Julia Roberts cleavage, basically. however,
nerds, sorry.
prudes all of them.
It's just like, how are you going to market tits to people? Where are these people from? Just, who do you market this to? Guys.
Yeah, easy. So it was released in March 2000. The film made $265 million plus worldwide, $125 million of that in North America, and that including a $28 million opening weekend. And in March, at the time, this was
double D box office revenue,
unheard of. This is unheard of bank for drama in March around this time. Another equally impressive thing with Erin Brockovich, its sort of journey as a film. 10 months after its release, Erin Brockovich continued to be in the awards conversation, which is very unusual for a film to be remembered from last spring when it comes time for, you know, various accolade nominations.
Silence of the Lambs is probably one of these outliers, right?
Yes, absolutely. And
it's almost
a year
after.
I think actually the release of Silence of the Lambs was before the Oscars, and then a whole year plus passed for the next Oscar ceremony, something like that. So there are some of these cases, but it's generally unusual. Yeah. So that is sort of a special piece of this film's history. The film did go on to be nominated for BAFTAs and Oscars in the categories of Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actress for Roberts, Best Supporting Actor for Albert Finney, and Best Original Screenplay. Julia Roberts won the Oscar, the BAFTA, and basically every imaginable Best Actress award that particular award season. Soderbergh would win Best Director, but that was for Traffic, which is another story. So stay tuned for next month. But Soderbergh was nominated for Erin Brockovich. It was one of the rare occurrences in modern times where there were two Best Director nominations for the same director in 1 year for two different films. Also, trivia point here, as producer, Danny DeVito was nominated for the Best Picture Oscar, and Erin Brockovich marks Danny DeVito's only Oscar nomination. So there's that. Erin Brockovich has largely stayed part of the pop culture. It's a film that, you know, most people know about. It is from the last era of profitable dramas, because we live in a world now of, you know, sequels and remakes and IPs. But this is a film, straight up drama, that made $250 million at the box office. So along with films like the Blind Side, Good Will Hunting, you know, Traffic, arguably A Beautiful Mind, right around 2000 is sort of where dramas stopped making money. So Erin Brockovich is right in that group. In terms of its legacy, I guess, in a way, Julia Roberts is...
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.